With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Off the ball.
Rugby.
There was no doubt about it that there was a lingering hangover from the Northampton semi-final still in the Aviva air.
Right.
I thought last Saturday night was witnessing the crowd of only 22,000. Every Leinster fan I've spoken to since that day cannot talk about any other match.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Good evening and welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock. Coming up, we'll be speaking to Chris Jones of the BBC from 7:30 to look ahead to round two of the Champions Cup. Munster and Leinster both up against Premiership opposition this weekend. We'll be bringing you a piece then after 8 o'clock on dodgy boxes. Jess Kelly is going to be with us in studio amongst some other voices. The premise of this piece is that Italian authorities have clamped down on users of dodgy boxes over the past couple of months, and we're going to try and find out if a similar threat exists for Irish users over the coming months and years. And on the football show after 9 o'clock, we'll keep you up to speed on everything that happens in the Champions League tonight in the company of Owen Doyle. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to drop us a WhatsApp message. Cameron Hill is here. Hello, Cameron.
Hello, Owens.
Owen Doyle is here. Hi, Owen.
Hey, Owen.
You're a satisfied man. You come to this part of Dublin for one reason only, and it's not us.
No, the belly is full, Owen.
We've been instructed by the finance people of this company not to give them any more free advertising. But let's just say we incorporated our football predictions with our favourite burrito spot in Dublin. So Pablo's Picks has officially hit Instagram, where you can exclusively see Owen Doyle's predictions for tonight's Champions League action.
I'd just like to state that I was a hungry man when we made them predictions. Yeah. I don't hold me to account there.
I'd like to state on behalf of the Bauer financial team that OTB is not a catered event and this is not a regular thing.
Would I be able to go out on a limb here and say one of your hungriest picks was going for Arsenal 4-0 away from home today?
Yeah. That was
rational.
I don't even remember that. That's how
you were,
hungry
you were
I was.
That hungry?
Yeah, I was that hungry. Yeah.
You skipped meals before coming in here today.
I did. I told you I'm mad for my routine, so anytime I'm coming in here now, especially the evening time, I'm skipping a meal.
You're like
I'm going straight for Pablo's.
Yeah, well, we haven't seen the feedback from either our bosses or Pablo Picante just yet, but hopefully there's a...
We could be done.
This could be the last time we ever speak to one another, or it could be the beginning of a beautiful new relationship where free food is laid on for us every single Champions League night that you're in. As I say, after 8 o'clock, we're going to be doing a piece on dodgy boxes, the idea of how vulnerable users are going to be, or otherwise is top of the agenda there. So as I say, Jess Kelly, News Talk's tech correspondent, is going to join us in studio. We're going to be speaking to Mark Scanlon of the League of Ireland because LOI TV has been affected by this. We'll be getting the view from England in terms of hearing from Adam Leventhal of The Athletic and also from Clubber, the club streaming service for the GAA here. Our reporter Ben Symes was also out in the streets in production for this piece and he got a sample of what they were saying on Grafton Street. Have a listen.
Do you use any illegal sites to watch sports at home?
Without cider. Yeah, I do, yeah. Why do I use it? Probably just the easiness of it. You get to see more games than what you would do that are broadcast maybe on Sky Sports or TNT. It's cheaper as well, obviously, so that's probably the main reason why.
I don't know.
You don't?
We have Sky Sports ourselves, so.
I probably used to use the legal sites when I was younger and couldn't afford it, and now we just pay for them. So.
Yeah.
Probably just the cost of the providers overall is a bit too high.
100%, 100%. We went just buzzed by a national Sky box, so too much money. I should have robbed me blind. I'm there buying Sky Sports. I don't even have TNT Sports. I don't have Sky Movies. I don't have any of that crack. I'm paying half the price for half the damage. When if I went and got a dodgy box, half the price, I get everything I want.
And if you want to see the identities of those voices, you can go onto our YouTube page. No, I'm joking. It was an audio-only piece that Ben went out and did. So we'll be trying to ask it. Well, I'm going to ask a few maybe very straightforward, stupid questions potentially to Jess after 8 o'clock, because I'm always fascinated by a number of different aspects with regards to this. First of all, the fact that like the club GAA matches are actually being broadcast on illegal streaming or on dodgy boxes. Like, who is the person that's out there in the world who's actually taking all these streams from a very, very small platform, which generally speaking, compared to the Premier League, very small audiences, and actually making them freely available? The technology of it all fascinates me. The fact that, as I say, there's been a clampdown in Italy on users fascinates me. And I do wonder if there's going to be any potential vulnerabilities for users here over the coming months. We'll establish that. And also just the idea of, is this actually dangerous? Because I often think, you know, the malware and data leaking aspect of it all is potentially overblown, but I don't know. Maybe anybody who uses a dodgy box is completely at risk of all these sorts of aspects.
The biggest, obviously, you were saying there that they're talking to like Mark Scanlon and Clubber and stuff like that. And look, the reason that these dodgy boxes exist, I assume, is just the cost of the subscriptions for Sky and these TNT and Premier Sports. And they're so spread out. You can't just buy one subscription either. You have to buy multiples, and you might only watch one game a week, if that, on one of them, and you're paying whatever it is, stupid money a month. But they're harming the small guys like the LOI TV and the Clubbers, who are desperate for this source of income. Like the League of Ireland itself, like, is really needs broadcast money. Like, really needs it. And the LOI TV project is brilliant. It's actually an amazing service. Brilliant. And it's a shame that it's been getting, like, a lot of people aren't paying for it, even though it's actually reasonably priced. I think it's only 99 for the whole season. You can watch every game back, everything. It's brilliant. But a lot of people won't be paying that because they're using these dodgy boxes.
It is reasonably priced, but I think probably one of the arguments I've heard from people who use dodgy boxes, particularly for LOI, is that sometimes the quality, particularly in the early parts of this season, wasn't quite there. Like, you'd have the feed dropping out. So there's an argument of, why would I pay this amount of money for one streaming service when, I mean, it's the problem and the incentive of getting a dodgy box is you have all this at your disposal for a reduced fee compared to the amount of subscriptions you would need normally. And I think sometimes the fallibility of those technical aspects of streaming, whether it's LOI TV or some have all the URC games or top 14 games or whatever you want yourself, that's the other side of it, is that at least if the stream goes down or something happens, I'm not taking as big a financial hit, or I don't feel like, oh, what a waste of money that this is, that I've paid for this and the stream doesn't even work for my team every week.
Yeah, it comes down to money.
Yeah, 100%. And like, I do think that we are kind of hurtling towards a world where that kind of honest price is just something that people can't justify shelling out for at this point. And I do wonder if there's going to be more specification with regards to teams, or at the very least leagues, that people are going to invest in. Like, I mean, the cost of being a sports fan and watching all the sport at home on a weekend is ginormous, really. Like, this weekend, if you want to watch even just the two sports in terms of European rugby and Premier League, you're going to have TNT, you're going to have Sky Sports, you're going to have Premier Sports to have all that covered for you this weekend. So I wonder if there's going to be kind of a more pick and choose aspect to the future of sports streaming. I know Now TV exists, and that's essentially what that is, although that's kind of more pick and choose the days that you want to watch. But whatever the Spotify or Netflix version is of sports streaming, because that's almost a cliche that's kind of thrown out over the last couple of years, I think that's probably closer to reality than ever at this point. We have a text in here from yet another Owen, who's getting involved in the conversation. I've always paid my subscription to Sky, as anything else is theft. Are all the honest people paying their subs having to pay more to cover the losses due to dodgy boxes? Probably, actually, yeah. They're given margins and given what they want to make in terms of their profits, I'm sure they are making up and hiking up prices as a result of people using dodgy boxes and illegal streaming. Patrick says that the club GAA matches should be free. Putting them behind a paywall is just pure greed on the part of the Grab All Association. That's another aspect of this, a very GAA specific aspect of all of this as well. You can let us know. 0879 180 180, as I say, is our WhatsApp number if you want to get in touch with us this evening. Cameron Hill Where shall we start in tonight's news round?
Oh, we better start with the Champions League, Owen, because Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta believes the club's first loss in 18 games over the weekend allowed them a moment to reflect on their impressive start to the season. They remain top of the Premier League and Champions League tables and visit Club Brugge, aiming to get back to winning ways in Europe this evening. Now, Arteta says the players' reactions to that defeat at Aston Villa in the dying minutes of that game spoke volumes about their ambitions this season.
When you look at the reaction of the players when they are on the floor and the pain and what I felt in that moment seeing them, because I know how much they put in and how much they wanted, it is difficult, but as well as a reflection of who we are and what we want to get. And this has to help us to be a better team, to learn the lesson, to value what we are doing, first of all, as well, because with all the difficulties that we have from the start of the season, where we are in the position where we are, both in the Champions League and the Premier League, is where we want to be. And understand that you have to earn it every single day.
Five changes for the Gunners tonight from that game against Villa. So Christian Norgaard starts at centre-back for the Gunners, while Viktor Gyökeres starts as striker. There's no Jurrien Timber in the squad altogether this evening.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Right. We haven't got any indication as to why that is. I presume he could have been put on the bench and not been selected, or maybe they determined that a trip to Belgium is the last thing he needed, and leaving him out of the squad entirely is what he requires at this stage, because he has played a lot of football recently. But we let you know if there's any further news on that, if it is an actual injury that's potentially keeping him out. Christian Horgard, Arsenal's latest centre-back. Owen, I mean, it's been confirmed today that Mosquera is going to be out for a little while, a number of weeks actually, Mosquera. So I don't suspect we're going to see him this side of the new year. So that's Arsenal's first three choice centre-backs confirmed out for the next little while. We don't know what the situation is with Saliba. He seems to be game to game at the moment. He could play this weekend. He could play in 2 weeks. Arteta very rarely gives a lot away in these press conferences. But Incapié and Norgaard, no matter who the opponent is at this point, it's almost become Arsenal's weakness from their biggest source of strength at the start of the season.
It's quite remarkable considering they're, for me, they're probably the most stacked, like, squad-wise, especially in the defensive areas.
Yeah.
You know, and to see Norgaard go in there now, I'm looking at the bench there, they've got Calafiori on the bench, who I actually think is probably a natural centre-back. So I think he's looking at this game.
And who's suspended for the weekend as well?
Calafiori.
He's suspended for this coming weekend because of the accumulation of yellows.
Right, yeah, very good. So it's a bit of a strange one. He's not playing him. But he's probably looking at this fixture as well and saying, listen, we're fine here in the Champions League. You know, they've found ones with the 100% record so far. They've been outstanding. Outstanding, obviously, in the league, but really, really impressive in the Champions League as well. So impressive the last outing against Bayern Munich. So, a bit of a surprise there to see Norgaard slipping into centre-back. He obviously hasn't played a lot of minutes for him this season, but tough test for him, like, going straight in and out of position.
Yeah, Club Brugge, a tough test for Arsenal as well this evening. So that's one of the number of games that we'll be keeping you up to speed on. But
what did I say, 4-0?
You said 4-0. We should.
I told you I was hungry when I said that.
That's why Pablo's haven't got back in touch. They've been like, this guy is talking absolute nonsense. We don't want to be associated with this guy at all. The main game we'll be keeping an eye on, Cameron, is Real Madrid versus Manchester City.
Yes, indeed. There are rumblings at the Bernabeu ahead of that game tonight, Owen. Alonso's performance, Xabi Alonso's that is, since taking over Los Blancos, hasn't inspired much confidence among the fans there. They lost at home 2-0 to Celta Vigo at the weekend, which means they've won just one of their last five La Liga matches. But Alonso insists he doesn't need to change the dressing room culture there.
It's not about changing, it's about adapting, because I knew pretty well the culture of Real Madrid. That's why it's the biggest club in the world, and you need to adapt it, you need to learn from it. And thereafter, there is a process. You need to have this interaction with the players, how we want to perform. Some days are good, sometimes are not that good. But from every game, we take steps. And now we are in this position right now. We have to face it with good energy, with positivity. That's the only way to turn it back and to have a better feeling.
It's an unchanged team for City tonight. So Mateus Nunez, Ruben Diaz, Yasko Guardiol and Nico O'Reilly are the back four. In the midfield, you have Bernardo Silva, Nico Gonzalez and Phil Foden, while Rayan Cherki and Jeremy Doku sit behind Erling Haaland in the team. For Real Madrid, you have Courtois in goal. You have Antonio Rudiger and Raul Asensio in the centre-back positions. Alvaro Carreras and Federico Valverde are wing-backs. The midfield is Jude Bellingham, Tchouameni and Dani Ceballos. While up front, you have Vinicius Junior and Rodrigo either side of Gonzalo Garcia.
Xabi Alonso in a little bit of bother at Real Madrid at the moment. It seems their standards are extremely high. We know, and we'll be chatting a bit more about this as the show goes on, that Arne Slot is in massive trouble at Liverpool. Are the stars aligning here for Alonso's comeback to Anfield?
If there was a manager change, I don't think I'd be too negative towards Xabi Alonso being ever being a Liverpool manager, considering what he's done at Leverkusen. But it's very early to be sacking him at Real Madrid, isn't it? Like, they're not far off it, and I think they're only a couple of points out of here. It might be level on points, maybe, but they have a game in hand up against them.
That's just the type of glass half full thinking that they don't tolerate at the Bernabeu.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
They're 4 points off top, same amount of games played as Barcelona.
Okay, so it could go down to the derby itself to potentially win the title if needs be. Like, but he's struggling with injuries there. No, Mbappe tonight, I think Militao was out as well. Obviously a bit of needle with Vinny Jr. early on the season. I know he's been back in the team recently and they don't seem to be getting on very well, but yeah, it'd be interesting. There's a bit of change there as well. Like, you know, they've no Kroos, no Modric, bit of a new midfield there. Maybe he needs time.
Yeah.
Xabi Alonso needs time.
It's not what the reports are in Spain at the moment. Marca reporting that he is fighting for his job earlier this week. So it feels that, I mean, the time will be given to him if, say, he wins tonight and he strings a couple of results together. I think he's...
It's a bit harsh if you lose to Man City and lose your job, isn't it? Like, it's...
It is. I don't think tonight's going to define whether or not he gets sacked, but it could form a picture if they lose tonight and then lose their next couple of games in La Liga as well. I think it forms part of a picture, but he might recover. I think he's in a better position than Arne Slot, to be fair, and I think he's probably in a more recoverable position given the way the dressing room is there compared to how things are at Anfield. Do you want to run us through the rest of tonight's football, Cameron?
Yes, indeed. Newcastle are in Germany for a meeting with Bayer Leverkusen this evening. Four changes from the weekend's game. So Lewis Hall, Sandro Tonali, Joel Linton and Harvey Barnes all come in for the Magpies tonight. All of those matches are underway at 8 o'clock, by the way, as is Benfica versus Napoli, one of the other games, one of seven games kicking off in the Champions League later on. Right now, you have Villarreal against Copenhagen in the early kickoff, 2-2, the latest score there, while Karabakh are 2-1 up at home to Ajax.
Right, Karabakh, they'd started very well. They had dropped off a little bit, but that would bring them up to 15th. Level on points with Barcelona, level on points with Chelsea, level on points with Borussia Dortmund, although Borussia Dortmund and Manchester City also on 10 points have to play tonight, obviously. So Karabakh.
What's happened to Ajax?
Yeah.
No points.
That's, right down the bottom, actually. There, even Kyrat Almaty are ahead of Ajax at the moment in the 36-team table. This Villarreal-Copenhagen game has been pretty interesting.
Yeah, two goals.
Good crack.
Yeah, well, the first goal was in the first minute, I think, and the equalised, and then they went ahead. Oh, no, they equalised in the 46th minute, then the start of the second half as well. And Copenhagen, straight after they conceded, went ahead again. And they've been very, very impressive, Copenhagen, for what I've seen.
Do you want to take us through the Shamrock Rovers stuff then? Obviously they're in Iceland this week. We're going to have live commentary tomorrow night, by the way, of the Shelburne versus Crystal Palace match. But some interesting comments from Stephen Bradley ahead of the Rovers fixture, Cameron.
Yeah. We thought maybe the peace had broken out between Bradley and Halvorsen, but it's back on, the war of words between them. He's indicated he won't release his players for a prospective Republic of Ireland winter training camp involving League of Ireland players. Now, Ireland head coach Hamer Halgrimsson floated the idea following last Friday's 2026 World Cup draw in Washington. They, of course, have the World Cup playoffs starting with a semi-final against Czechia in Prague at the end of March. Bradley was speaking ahead of tomorrow's Conference League clash with Breiðablik in Iceland earlier. He feels League of Ireland players should have been consulted first.
Yeah, the chat should have been done some time back. You know, I think everyone involved in the league wants players from the league around the international setup. But like I said before, any discussions like that should be had with the managers within the league before it's spoken out in public, and for me that's not right and never will be.
You said that you didn't hear directly from Hamer himself, he went to the media. Do you have any recent contact with him?
No.
And then is your issue with players being called on that and missing the start of your pre-season or with the break, like what is the specific issue you have with the training camp?
If someone wants players from the league, they just speak to the managers in the league. It's quite simple. It's not rocket science. So I think that's pretty straightforward.
I mean, Hamer probably would have asked for permission when this thing actually clicks into gear. I mean, I don't know. What do you make of this, Owen? Is Hamer completely out of line by not speaking to Stephen Bradley beforehand before making these public pronouncements? It feels like very sort of. I'm not saying Hamer was shooting from the hip or anything like that, but I'm not like I don't think he sat down and thought too much about this, which maybe is the issue that Stephen Bradley would have with this. But I don't think he was trying to go above a League of Ireland manager's head with his comments last week.
I think it should be noted as well that it was asked of him around, would you have a home-based training camp in that press conference following the World Cup draw? So it's not like Hamer came out and said, I'm going to do this and I'm going to go on a solo run and screw the LOI managers and I don't care what they think. Like, this was a response to a question that was asked of him of, yeah, you know, maybe. Like, it wasn't very committal at all.
Okay. We might grab that audio out later. Mm. We might play it on the football show just to give a fuller context on it.
Yeah, I'd say the bit that got Stephen, that would have been the fact that he think he said January 26th, which is like 3-4 weeks away, which is impossible to do.
December 26th.
Did he?
Wait, 3-4 lies in like in...
It is in like in the next few weeks, I think, because he wants to do this in 26.
Oh, 2026. Sorry, I didn't mean the 26th of January. Sorry.
No, sorry, 2026. Which would be only a few weeks away, which would be very, very difficult, so...
Yeah.
I'd be very much... I think any time Hamer's come out and spoke about anything regarding the league in the past, it's been just a misinterpretation of a bit of a language barrier. I've no reason to believe that he would be trying to offend anyone or grab players without permission or do anything like that. I'd actually be of the belief that Hagmundsson himself probably thinks if I get the League of Ireland players in for the camp and they get capped potentially in a friendly, that it'd probably increase the value of them for the clubs, which would be a good positive thing. I'd say that's more his outlook on things. It'd be a positive thing to do. But I understand Stephen himself trying to keep his own house in order, whereas like he can't let his players go. He can't. Like, he's right. He can't let his players go to be in that. And Hagmundsson will want a lot of his players because they're the best team. You know, so it's a bit of a tough one, like, you know. But I'd say the players themselves might really enjoy it. They might want to do this, you know, but there's no way Bradley could let them go.
It's already a complicated enough situation going from Conference League to pre-season, which is tiny, into the League of Ireland season beginning again. So throwing this into the middle of it, you can understand his exasperation as well. But it seems that with a lot of the Hagmundsson stuff, there has just been maybe a little bit of a miscommunication. Maybe a misunderstanding as well, to be fair. But I don't think there's... Rarely think there's any sort of malice involved in it or any sort of ignorance in terms of what he's actually trying to do to the league or to these players.
I fully agree with that, yeah.
We have a bit of rugby news, Cameron.
Ireland star Aoife Wafer is reportedly set to make her long-awaited debut for PWR side Harlequins this weekend. The Wexford native hasn't played since the World Cup quarter-final defeat to France in September. That remains her only game so far this season, having missed the pool stages of that tournament in England while she recovered from a long-term knee injury. She did play on in that last eight clash despite breaking her collarbone and rupturing her MCL during the game. She was also infamously on the receiving end of a bite from France loose forward Axel Bartomeu, for which the latter was handed a 12-match ban subsequently, but not penalised or sanctioned during the game. Now, according to the BBC, Wafer is expected to be named on the bench for their PWR clash against Sale Sharks on Saturday. She announced her move to Quinns back in July, joining the likes of Dorothy Wall and Niamh Jones in playing their club rugby in England. And while she considered linking up with the Irish contingents at Gloucester Hartbury and Exeter Chiefs, she explained why she ultimately chose to move to the Stoop.
Yeah, like, I definitely thought about it, to be fair. Like you have clubs that obviously have a couple of Irish girls, and like Gloucester and Exeter have a few, whether it's Sam and Eve over in Gloucester or Tricky, Clee and Darrow over in Exeter. So yeah, like, it's definitely something you look at, but like, I think at the end of the day, like, Quinns were the ones that kind of jumped out to me when I was trying to pick a club and see which kind of suited me. So yeah, like, I just can't wait to test myself against the world's best here. Like, you already have the likes of Ellie Kildon here. You have Claudia Peña, like who is a name I'd say we'll be hearing a lot of in the coming years. And then obviously in the back row, you have the likes of Alex Callanher and Jay Conkle, who, like, I'm so excited to be able to try and pick apart their brains with a few things, and hopefully they'll be able to learn something from me too.
We have an update from the Champions League. Owen, we were slamming Ajax. What's happened here in this game? Tell us.
A 3-2 up. What a comeback, yeah.
How did this happen?
They must have heard us.
Yeah.
They must have heard us. What's happened to them?
Deacons in Amsterdam.
Yeah, they took offence to our words.
It's going to be like the Dundalk FC jersey launch last week where your voice is going to be used this time in the Ajax jersey launch. You're going to slagging them off, saying they're dead. They're not dead.
Oh, what's happened to Ajax?
Quickfire double from Ajax. They're
just asking questions.
You've got a couple more stories for us, Cameron.
Yeah, I better finish with this one, Owen. Paul Pogba has explained that he's invested in professional camel racing to elevate the sport to a global stage. The France midfielder has become a shareholder in the Saudi Arabian-based Al Habub, the world's first professional camel racing team across the UAE and the Arabian Gulf. Last year, the prize pool for the Alula Camel Cup, the most lucrative competition in the sport, was €5.5 million across 16 races. Pogba, who became the world's most expensive player when he joined Manchester United from Juventus in 2016, has set his sights on owning the world's most expensive camel. Owning the world's most expensive camel, he said, one day would be a beautiful full circle moment, something fun, something meaningful, and something that excites me.
Wow. When he says elevate camel racing to a world level, does he mean like in terms of us watching camel racing on our phones all around the world, or does he mean actually bringing camel racing all around the world? Because I presume camel racing can only happen in the desert.
So far, so good. This is the first time I've ever heard of it. So, you know, he's already proving to be a great advocate for the sport in that regard.
I didn't realise the money involved either. I would suggest that maybe Aidan O'Brien and Willie Mullins need to turn their attentions to somewhere more lucrative if this is the sort of funds we're talking about here.
The photo sale.
Yeah. Cameron, thank you very much for tonight's news round. Owen, you're going to stick with us. You'll be back with us on the football show after 9 o'clock this evening. We're going to be chatting to Chris Jones at the BBC next ahead of a URC versus Premiership doubleheader for Munster and Leinster this weekend in the Champions Cup. So we'll take a break, and before that, it's time for the Cash Machine.
Off the Ball Daily.